Now, there are many different ways that I hope I can show you how this process of nonviolent communication can be applied. We can apply it within ourselves, and I'll show you shortly how we can use it to learn from our limitations without losing self-respect. It can help us to connect with the people that we're the closest with, our children, our partners, in our work situations. But I'll also show you its application in resolving disputes between people that might be doing things in a way we don't like. We can use it to alter the structures that we're living within and to transform them into structures that support compassionate giving. Let me give you an idea of how some of the people use it and what they say about it. Here's what someone who'd been in a workshop with me in San Diego had to say about it. And I'm quoting, "When I learned how I can receive as well as give through using nonviolent communication, I went beyond interpreting that I was being attacked and becoming a doormat to really listening to words and extracting the underlying feelings of the speaker. I discovered a very hurting man to whom I had been married for 28 years. He had asked me for a divorce the weekend before I came to the nonviolent communication workshop. To make a long story short, we're here today together, and I appreciate the contribution that nonviolent communication made to our happy ending. I learned to listen for feelings, to express my needs, to accept answers that I didn't always want to hear. I saw that he's not here to make me happy, nor am I here to create happiness for him. No, you can't make people feel as they do. We've learned that by just connecting in a certain way, a love develops between us so that we can meet each other's needs and the happiness just happens. I learned that we can't be responsible for each other's feelings, but we can be responsible for how we react to one another. And if we connect with this kind of consciousness, we'll end up both getting our needs met, and the happiness flows from that." Here's what a doctor told me who lives in Paris, France, about how she uses the training. "I use nonviolent communication more and more in my medical practice. Some patients ask me whether I'm a psychologist, saying that usually their doctors are not interested in the way they live their lives or deal with their diseases. Nonviolent communication helps me understand what the patient's needs are and what they need to hear at a given moment. I find this particularly helpful in relating to patients with hemophilia and AIDS, because there's so much anger and pain that the patient-healthcare provider relationship is often seriously impaired. Still others are using our process of nonviolent communication in the political arena. A French cabinet member visiting her sister remarked how differently the sister and her husband were communicating and responding to each other. Encouraged by their descriptions of nonviolent communication, she mentioned that she was scheduled the following week to negotiate some sensitive issues between France and Algeria regarding adoption procedures. Though time was limited, we dispatched a French-speaking trainer to Paris to work with the cabinet minister. She later attributed much of the success of her negotiations in Algeria to her newly acquired communication techniques. Worldwide, nonviolent communication now serves as a valuable resource for communities facing violent conflicts and severe ethnic, religious, or political tensions. The spread of nonviolent communication and its use in mediation by people in conflict in Israel, the Palestinian Authority, Nigeria, Rwanda, Sierra Leone, and elsewhere have been a source of particular gratification for me. My associates and I were once working with Serbians and Croatians during the war there. I brought them to a neutral country for doing this work. the first few days enormously painful. To help them to get past the enemy images and see the humanness in one another. How wonderful, as the training progressed, to hear progressive rings of laughter in their voices, as they shared their profound gratitude and joy for having seen how nonviolent communication could translate their enemy images of the other side and help them see the humanness of each other. And I'm pleased to see what these people have done with the training since in their countries, in helping the people to get past the kind of thinking that leads us to see enemies. I feel blessed to be able to travel throughout the world teaching people this process of communication and seeing them empowered in the ways that they are. And now I'm pleased to be able to share this with you. Before getting into describing some of the mechanics in greater detail for you, in a way that I hope will help you to integrate the mechanics into your life, I'd like to first identify some communication that unfortunately many of us have been taught that I think blocks compassion, that blocks the connection necessary for us to connect with others in a way in which everybody's needs can get met. One of the most destructive kinds of communication that I was taught and that I see other people being taught is how to evaluate one another using moralistic judgments that basically focus on rightness and wrongness. Now, when I question these kind of judgments, people often think I'm talking about not having any judgments at all. What I hope to show is that I do recognize that we need to judge, but there's a radically different way of judging than going up to our head and judging people as right, wrong, good, bad, normal, abnormal, stupid or intelligent, attractive or ugly. Nonviolent communication suggests evaluating with a language of life, not a language in which we sit in judgment of one another. So, nonviolent communication judges, but judges from a standpoint of, is this behavior serving life or not? It doesn't judge from a position of whether this other person deserves to be rewarded or punished.